And our next speaker is Thomas Corden from Rutgers. He's a graduate student, MPH candidate, and his topic is very interesting. Classroom and work site technology needs assessment for secondary school teachers working with students with special health care needs. So really looking forward to your talk.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. As you know, I'm Thomas. And so today I'll be going over some key findings and a summary from a technology needs assessment that was conducted for secondary school teachers working with students with special health care needs. And before I begin, I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, so here's the outline for this presentation. The way you can view this is similar to a five-course meal. Is there any of you like fine dining? Or better yet, Thanksgiving next week. Well, actually, I probably shouldn't use Thanksgiving, because if you're like me, you'll have all five courses on one plate. But so first we'll look at what is New Jersey Safe Schools, and then New Jersey Safe Schools trainings, and third, the technology needs assessment that was conducted in 2013. And we'll follow that with key findings from the technology needs assessment and a summary of everything. Your dessert. Okay, so for the New Jersey Safe Schools, what is the New Jersey Safe Schools program? So the New Jersey Safe Schools program is a project supported by the New Jersey Department of Education, Office of Career and Technical Education. Our mission is to assist schools in reducing risks to occupational safety and health hazards in secondary school and work microenvironments where students work and go to school. Our target group are secondary school teachers who work with adolescents. And this is administered through the Center for School and Community-Based Research and Education at Rutgers School of Public Health. So as for the trainings, between 2010 and 2012, New Jersey Safe Schools piloted new half-day trainings on safety and health topics for students with special health care needs. These trainings were inspired by positive reviews from New Jersey Safe Schools OSHA 10 Plus in designing student training plan courses throughout the year across New Jersey. In 2013, New Jersey Safe Schools expanded to conduct full-day trainings with a larger scope, additional resources, more partners, and more learning objectives. So New Jersey Safe Schools collaborated with multiple clinical education and technology stakeholders, such as Elizabeth Wallach Center for Developmental Disabilities, Early Childhood Learning Center of New Jersey, Hope Autism Solutions, and Rutgers Graduate School of Education. Training participants were primarily teachers and other school professionals who work with students with special health care needs. And if you aren't familiar, students with special health care needs are students with developmental, intellectual, and physical disabilities, such as autism and Asperger's. So the goals for these trainings, 2013 training to be more specific, was to expand knowledge and awareness of specific workplace safety and health issues for students with special health care needs. Tongue twister. And the second goal was to provide resources and information on workplace modification strategies. Along with this goal, we also provided resources and information on securing work placement opportunities for these students as well. So three objectives to meet these goals. Primary objectives were to describe available learning tools to increase knowledge and awareness of safety and health for students, these types of students. And the second objective was to identify available resources to support workplace safety and health for these students. And third, which is the focus of this presentation, is to demonstrate barriers to the use and access of technology through a technology needs assessment. Main course. So the technology needs assessment was conducted after the workshop days in 2013, and it was included in a overall evaluation, which had other questions in there too. But the technology needs assessment section of the evaluation assessed for technology needs of teachers who work with students with special health care needs, and the barriers to the access and use of technology in classrooms and work sites. So here's a sample of the evaluation. As you can see, we assess four or five different categories of technology. The first is modified personal computers slash laptops with touchscreen monitors. Second category technology was Apple iPhone with special applications. Third is tablets and e-readers with special apps. Fourth is other smartphones with special apps. And the last was technology for visually impaired individuals with special healthcare needs. This could be iPods and things similar to that. So this is where it gets a little data dense, but if you follow with me, I'll make sure you get the key points. This data table is for the technology access and use. So our five categories are on the row headers, and the four different ways respondents could respond were yes, I, we have and use this technology. So the second is yes, I know about this technology, but we do not have it now. Third is, well, I know about this technology, I'm not interested. And the fourth is, I did not know about this technology. Now let's look at the first column. The first circled percentage is tablets. This is the highest in that column. So about half of respondents indicated that they already have tablets and e-readers with special apps. And the lowest for that column is other smartphones, with 18% of respondents marking that with other smartphones with special apps. The second column, where respondents indicated interest, but they don't have the technology. And the key things in that column is that iPhones were something they would like to use. And for both iPhones, for Apple iPhones and smartphones, well, yeah, smartphones, Google, Android, HTC, stuff like that, both received 59% of respondent votes. And the last column is, I did not know about the technology, and technology for visually impaired individuals with special healthcare needs, 20% of respondents indicated that they did not know about that category of technology. Oh, okay. And here's another way of looking at that. I know that was a lot of information. So this just shows you which categories or which responses received the most responses, and the circled information I just went over. Okay, so this is the second data table. And this data table was for barriers to access and use of technology. Same categories of technology for the row headers. However, for the column headers, there's financial barriers as the first column. The second is training learning barriers. Third is lack of administrative support, such as institutional barriers. The fourth was time barriers, such as not practical to use within the existing program. And the fifth was other types of barriers. And another thing that's important about this data table is that N doesn't equal respondents. N equals the number of responses. Reason for that is because this was mark all that apply, so some respondents may have marked all five barriers. And key information from this data table is that modified personal computers, laptops with touchscreen monitors received 56% of marks for financial barriers, and technology for visually impaired individuals with special healthcare needs received 49% and under financial barriers. And here's another way of looking at that information. As you can see, financial barriers were the most significant, and training learning barriers were second. Okay, so you just had the main course. Here's just a follow-up with that. So the response rate for access to technology was about 90% of respondents. So I think that was around 39 of the 44 respondents answered questions pertaining to access to technology. Many respondents use or were familiar with technology from each of the five categories. This is the first two columns we looked at for that data table, 72%. And the third key finding was that technology with the highest uninformed was technology for visually impaired individuals, such as iPods, which was about 20% of 40 respondents. And about half of the respondents indicated tablet or e-reader use, 51%. All right. So the key findings from the barrier to access and use of technology data table were that financial barriers were the leading identified limitations. The largest financial barrier was for modified personal computers, laptops with touchscreen monitors, which was about 56%. 24 of the 43 responses. Remember, this doesn't equal the number of respondents. And the second leading limitations was for training and learning barriers. And the largest training learning barrier was for tablets and e-readers with special apps, with about 24% of total responses. And this response rate was slightly lower than the other data table question, and it was around 67%, with about 30 of the 44 respondents marked responses. Now, it's hard to indicate why, but I could probably say that they weren't aware, maybe weren't aware of the barriers they were experiencing, or just didn't want to say. Okay, so here's your dessert. hopefully short and sweet. Technology improvements that could be made for students with special healthcare needs was one of the main results that I just went over. And another key point of this presentation were that substantial barriers do exist for these technologies, just as financial and training barriers. Overall, the New Jersey Safe Schools received positive reviews from the evaluations we gave participants at the end of workshops by broadening professional knowledge of safety and health hazards. But in addition to this knowledge, if teachers were to address the barriers to improve classroom work technology, students with special healthcare needs would be further benefited. And that's it. Here's some references, resources, if you'd like more information.